Did Jesus rise from the dead, and why does it matter? Hello, I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to talk with Dr. Sam Lamerson, who's been teaching the New Testament at Knox Theological Seminary for several years now. Sam, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
It is my pleasure. Thanks so much, Jerry.
Sure.
Or should I say Dr. Newcomb?
Well, just don't call me late for supper. Okay, so why does the resurrection of Jesus Christ matter? And of course he rose from the dead, but let's kind of explore this issue, especially, you know, as we look at, our age today is so secular and so many people want to dismiss Christianity as if, you know, it has nothing to do with the future, and they don't realize, oh no, it has everything to do with the future, and that's because Christ rose from the dead in the past.
You know, the important thing to realize is that Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians may be the very, very first book written of the New Testament. Hmm. And so it's very early. It's probably from about 50 AD. And Paul says, if Christ being preached as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is futile and your faith is empty. So Paul is saying here, the bedrock of our Christianity is the resurrection, a physical resurrection. And earlier on in that chapter, Paul says the disciples saw him, other people saw him, and 500 people saw him, some of whom are still alive. So Paul is saying, if you don't believe me that he rose from the dead, go and talk to some of those people who saw him then, and they can tell you. So it is critical. There is nothing more important in Christianity than the truth of the resurrection.
Okay, now let's talk about some of the evidences for the resurrection. For example, the empty tomb. Wouldn't it be fair to say that even those who don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead do acknowledge that the tomb was empty that first Easter Sunday morning?
Yeah, most. There are a few who have some squirrely arguments here and there, but almost everyone will agree that the tomb was empty simply because of the fact that Jesus' body is never dragged through the streets of Jerusalem. I mean, it would have been very easy to disprove the resurrection if you had Jesus' body, but presumably they didn't, and that indicates to us that the tomb was empty. And Paul doesn't say the tomb was empty in 1 Corinthians 15, but he hints at it. He says, I received of you that which was most important to me. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the scripture, and then he appeared to Cephas and the 12. So he doesn't say, and the tomb was empty, but by implication, obviously, if he was raised, the tomb was empty.
Okay, now one objection that some people make is that the accounts of the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus in the gospel are not always easy to kind of put together like a puzzle. You know, what happened first? What happened second? What happened third? But, then others, on the other hand, will say, well, that's kind of the way eyewitness testimony is. You know, one person saw it from one perspective and shares this, and then another person saw it from another perspective and shares that, and they may seem contradictory, but no, they all fit together if you put the big picture, you know, put it through the big picture.
One of my best friends used to be an attorney. He's a church history professor now. But he said that when he was an attorney and he had eyewitnesses, the first thing he would do is put them in separate rooms and ask them to write down what happened. If they all wrote down the exact same thing, he knew that they had collaborated in some way and that it wasn't true. One expects differences because we all have different things that draw our eye and that we remember. But more important than that, because the Holy Spirit has different messages that he wants to get put forward through the four Gospels. And as a result, there are differences in the way that they view things.
Okay, so as far as the big picture here, Mary Magdalene would be among the very first to see Jesus. And I understand that in first century Judaism, women weren't even allowed to testify in court. So I think you were the one who said, hey, if you're going to make this stuff up, why would you have a woman testifying that Jesus rose from the dead?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. Now, I have found, since I said that probably 10 years ago, I have found a couple maybe longer than that. I have found a couple of places where women did give testimony, but by and large, they were rich women who were like wives of kings or head of country or something like that. So none of the women who show up at Jesus' tomb are anything but poor, just like probably 90% of the people in Israel at the time. They were poor, living day to day. They had nothing to gain by making up these kind of stories and a lot of things to lose because the Roman government just didn't put up with it. And yet we have women showing up first. We have the disciples looking cowardly, both of which are what we use, what we call the criterion of embarrassment. That is, these are embarrassing stories, and a person who tells embarrassing stories does not make them up generally. If you're going to tell an embarrassing story, it's because it really happened, not because you want to make that up. If you make up stories, generally you make up stories where you're the hero rather than the one who runs away.
All right, comment, if you will, on the change of the disciple, you know, pre-resurrection, post-resurrection.
One of the key aspects to the Gospel of Mark is that the disciples fail and fail and fail to understand who Jesus is. There are really only three people who explicitly say who Jesus is or explicitly correctly know who Jesus is in the Gospel of Mark. There's the Father who says, "This is my beloved Son." There's Peter at the middle who says, "You are the Christ," but he still doesn't understand it because when Jesus says, "I have to go die," Peter says, "We'll never have that happen." And then there's the centurion at the end who says, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Other than that, the disciples just chronically misunderstanding who Jesus is. As a result of that, they certainly were surprised when Jesus died. In their minds, a crucified Messiah was a failed Messiah. So as a result of that, they run away. But a little while later, we find the disciples really much stronger than that, willing to go out and be missionaries for the gospel, willing to be missionaries for Christianity. Now, we don't know exactly how all the disciples died. There's a really wonderful book by Sean McDowell, son of Josh McDowell, on what we know about the historical death of the apostles. Some of them were put to death, and some of them it's a little bit more difficult to tell, but early church history would indicate that all of the disciples were put to death except for the writer of the Gospel of John, John, who was placed into a pit of boiling oil and through a miracle escaped, and thus he went to the Isle of Patmos. But none of that is in the scripture. What we do know, however, is that the apostles went out and at best faced terrible, terrible times, and at worst faced death as a result of the fact that they were explicitly talking about this resurrected Christ whom they had run away from, whom Peter had denied, and yet now things have changed. And one of the things that even critical scholars will say is, "I'm a historian, so I can't really talk about the resurrection," they will say, "but something really strange happened to the disciples during the period between the period of Jesus' death and the beginning of the early church."
You know, that's an interesting point. As you know, I had the opportunity to actually interview a number of scholars, including a handful of liberal, you know, scholars who didn't believe in the resurrection, and yet they all would agree that the disciples thought that Jesus was risen from the dead, and they didn't necessarily label it as a hallucination. They thought of it more as a spiritual resurrection or something like that, but it wasn't, you know, a real physical resurrection. I think in all the cases, basically, they were unwilling to accept that miracles can happen. Therefore, whatever happened on that first Easter Sunday morning, it couldn't have been a resurrection because, you know, a resurrection is a miracle and miracles don't happen, you know?
Right. If you begin with that kind of a presupposition, and we all begin with pre-knowledge, if you begin with that presupposition that miracles don't happen, then you are explicitly saying the resurrection can't happen. You're not in any sense engaging in it in a scientific or academic form. You're just saying, "I'm going to stipulate right out at the front that resurrection don't happen." Well, how do you know that? I mean, that's the very question at hand, whether or not resurrection happens. And you cannot know that apart from examining carefully the most famous resurrection in history, and that is Jesus. And it's my opinion, after years of studying this, that there's more historical evidence for the resurrection than there is for any other ancient event. And that if you're going to throw out the resurrection, then you end up becoming total historical agnostics. Because if you can't trust the sources about the resurrection, then why would you trust the sources about Caesar, or why would you trust the sources about anything else?
So you're saying that that Jesus rose from the dead historically is actually just as reliable as, say, the existence of Julius Caesar and his conquering in Gaul and things like that?
In my view, now, there are others who would discount that view, but I would argue that most of them discount that view as a result of a presupposition rather than as a result of real serious study of the accounts of the resurrection and of the accounts of resurrection from other stories around this time.
Okay, let me ask you this. Some people would say, okay, everything you're talking about is what we find in the Bible, but I don't believe the Bible. Are there sources outside the New Testament that address the issue of the resurrection of Jesus?
There are, and there are a variety of sources outside the Bible that mention Jesus, that talk about the fact that his followers claimed he was resurrected. But I want to begin with a little pushback on someone who says, I don't believe the Bible. Even if you don't believe the Bible is written by God, even if you believe that it's just an ancient book, just like Josephus or Philo or any other ancient book, you must begin by asking the question, is it basically historically verifiable or historically accurate? And I would say that the Gospels are very reliable, and that to just push aside the Gospels simply because you want to say, I don't believe the Bible, creates a variety of problems, and that the person will never be able to achieve a fair view because they've thrown out evidence from the very beginning.
All right. Now, I want to be able to post this on our Providence Forum website, so I'm going to mention this. George Washington and his wife, Martha, have behind them, chiseled in stone, the words from Jesus Christ in John chapter 11, where Jesus says, and this is in the King James Version, that those words are written, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall live even though he dies. The resurrection hope was, of course, very, very important to people like George and Martha Washington. So I've got a question for you. Did Jesus appear in his resurrection body only to believers? We have about 1 minute left.
No, Jesus did not appear only to believers. In fact, there were a variety of people who came to know Jesus as a result of his resurrection body. The most famous of these, according to church history, was his brother James. According to Eusebius, early church historian, James did not believe in Jesus until after the resurrection. And at that time, he comes to believe in Jesus and eventually suffers and dies as a result of his belief in Jesus. So it's not just people having some kind of a hallucination, which wouldn't happen anyway. Group hallucinations just don't really happen.
Paul would be a famous unbeliever too, right?
Would be a famous unbeliever. Now, that his seeing Jesus, he sees Jesus in a little different way. He doesn't see Jesus here on earth walking around. At least we don't know about it. He may have seen Jesus here on earth walking around, but at the time when his calling, we can call it, he sees Jesus as a vision of some sort.
But as you said earlier at the very outset, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is an historical fact. It's the bedrock of the Christian church. Paul, Sam, thanks so much for being with us. And Paul, if you're up there in heaven listening, thank you so much for all your great writings. No, Sam, thanks.
Yeah, we thank Paul a lot more than we thank me. Thank you, Jerry. It's been great talking to you.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye now.